live from the Poly Market Studio in LA. It's the Young Turks. Thank you for watching or listening to this free podcast of the Young Turks. We want to make sure that you get some portion of the show every day. But if you want the full show, which is actually 5 segments, come become a member and support independent media as well. TYTnetwork.com/join. Meanwhile, enjoy the free podcast. All right, we're back on the Young Turks, guys. Tom Zawaki writes in, another example of the Democrats greasing the squeaking wheel on the Medicare for All issue. Trouble is they never fix the problem that causes the squeaking wheel to begin with. Nerd Frequency asks, rightfully so, doesn't this vindicate the progressives that didn't vote Hillary? No way this happens if Hillary won. Oh, I see what you're saying. In that case, it is a very open question, and it is a good question. On the other hand, Trump has taken away parts of the Affordable Care Act, and now with the story we told you about Idaho killing basically the clause that protects you from pre-existing conditions. Yeah, you might be right that the Center for American Progress might not have gone as far if Hillary had won. On the other hand, we also wouldn't have gone backwards under Trump. So it's a complicated question. I'm just keeping it real on all sides, okay? So now I got to keep going, guys. Ton of news for you. Let's go over here. Okay. I know. I do. Don't worry. That's my job. That was Siri telling me she doesn't have an answer for that because I accidentally pressed the wrong button. Okay. Donald Trump has a brilliant idea for school shootings. Let's give weapons to the teachers so we could have shootouts at the OK Corral at all these schools. Look, it gets worse, but let me show you the beginning of this genius idea by Donald Trump. Watch.
There would be teachers and coaches, if the coach had a firearm in his locker when he ran at this guy, that coach was very brave, saved a lot of lives, I suspect. But if he had a firearm, he wouldn't have had a run. He would have shot, and that would have been the end of it. It's called concealed carry, where a teacher would have a concealed gun on them. They'd go for special training, and they would be there, and you would no longer have a gun-free zone. You'd have a lot of people that'd be armed, that'd be ready. They're professionals. They may be Marines that left the Marines, left the Army, left the Air Force.
Well, if only there were armed guards protecting the school, then this whole thing would have been resolved. Except that a news story just broke that there actually was an armed officer at the school, and he did not go in. He has now resigned. So, hey, that magical solution, apparently not that magical. But Donald Trump is going to continue with this absurdity.
General John Kelly. So he's a 4-star Marine. He's a tough cookie. If he was a teacher of mine, I wouldn't mind having him have a gun, because I guarantee he can use it better than anybody. There's no security guard you're going to hire that's going to handle a gun better than him. So if he's a teacher, and if other friends of his from the Marine, if they're teaching, or other people like that, I want them to have a gun. General Kelly is the history teacher. He's teaching about how we win wars, okay? And he's got a concealed weapon, but they're going to know he's got a concealed, because we tell them that the bullets are going to be flying in the other direction. You're not going to have these attacks if you do that.
So, as I just told you, there actually was an armed guard there, and it happened anyway, because it turns out crazy people with guns don't care about that. Most of them, as John pointed out yesterday on the show, either get caught or get killed on the scene anyway. None of these kids have ever, or any of these shooters, have ever gotten away with it. So it's a preposterous point to begin with. Number two, you really want bullets going both ways? So, oh, great, shootouts at the school, wonderful idea. Number three, you know why General Kelly would be good at shooting back? Because he's a general, because he was in the Marines, but most teachers are not generals and did not spend their entire lives in the military. In fact, a teacher who voted for Trump made a similar point that I'm going to show you in a little bit. But let me first go to more of Donald Trump's tweets on this insane idea. First, Bloomberg News initially reported that Trump floated the idea of giving teachers a little bit of a bonus for carrying guns with them during a meeting with school safety officials. So that happened earlier today. So, hey, let's train some teachers to shoot, and we'll give them a bonus. For what bonus? Every time they shoot one of their students who had a gun or they thought had a gun? How's the bonus going to work? Oh, okay. So let's go now to the absurd tweets. Trump says, I never said give teachers guns, like was stated on fake news CNN and NBC. What I said was to look at the possibility of giving concealed guns to gun adept teachers with military or special training experience, only the best. 20% of teachers, a lot, would now be able to immediately fire back. But before we go to the rest of the thing, did you see that? I want to highlight it for you in case it wasn't clear enough, although it's super clear in the tweet, but let's go to the highlighted version. I never said give teachers guns. One sentence later, he's in favor of giving guns to teachers. Somebody tackle him before he gets to Twitter. For God's sake, man. Now, I saw the rest of the tweet, yes, to 20% of the teachers, which he then says is a lot. So let me finish the sentence. So a lot would now be able to immediately fire back if a savage sicko came to a school with bad intentions. Highly trained teachers would also serve as a deterrent to the cowards that do this. Far more assets at much less cost than guards. A quote, gun-free school is a magnet for bad people. Attacks would end. Well, apparently they wouldn't because, again, an armed guard there and the school got attacked anyway. But his idea is like, I didn't say give every single teacher a gun. I just said the really good ones, the ones that are good at shooting and such, so they could shoot back and forth, back and forth. In other words, you said give guns to teachers. But he's not done proving his own point a lie. He continues to go. He says, history shows that a school shooting lasts on average 3 minutes. It takes police and first responders approximately 5 to 8 minutes to get to the site of the crime. Highly trained gun adept teachers, coaches would solve the problem instantly before police arrive. Great deterrent. And he says, if potential sicko shooter knows that a school has a large number of very weapons talented teachers. Oh, great. Weapons talented teachers and others who will be instantly shooting, this sicko will never attack that school. Cowards won't go there. Problem solved. Must be offensive. Defense alone won't work. What a simple minded fool. Oh yeah, I got a great idea. These guys, these weapons talented teachers, we just give them all weapons and to look out for whoever comes in, you bang, 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 and shoot them. Bullets going both ways. We're playing offense. You don't want to play offense with weapons inside a school. All right, no empathy whatsoever. All right, now let's go to that teacher who voted for Trump. Yeah, her name is Ashley Kurth, and she asked this during a town hall.
Senator Rubio, I'm a registered Republican. I voted for Mr. Trump. I still, you know, support the Second Amendment. However, with that being said, and with all these talks of gun control laws and everything that you guys have been up there stating to us of what you're going to do about it, a lot of the flack that I've been getting back from my friends and from a lot of other people that are around the world is the answer to the gun problem is to arm teachers. And when I had those hundreds of terrified children that were running at me, my question to that is, am I supposed to get extra training now to serve and protect on top of educate these children on how to be these eloquent speakers that are coming up and presenting issues to you? I mean, am I supposed to have a Kevlar vest? Am I supposed to strap it to my leg or put it in my desk? How am I supposed to go on that way?
Well, first, I don't support that.
Okay, so think about that. What a great question. She's like, so I have to train to be a teacher. And now you're telling me on top of that, I have to train to know how to use a gun and get vests. And the Republicans will not ban AR-15s, assault weapons. So those are weapons of war. So now they're telling teachers, it's okay, just turn the school into a war zone. And you know, suit up and have guns all over you in case somebody else with guns comes in. All right, but one of the students here, Sam Zeef, who talked to President Trump yesterday, made the best point of all. Watch this.
Sam, what did you think about the president's idea of arming teachers?
Madness. Like, just absolute madness. Teachers go through emotions every single day. just like students do, just like mentally ill people do, just like everyone. And teachers are faced with the responsibility every single day of molding young lives and mentoring them and being there for them. Why should they be faced with the responsibility of knowing whether or not they're going to have to kill them that day?
You know, I got to be honest, I hadn't thought of it that way until he said it. We'd be training the teachers to kill their students. So the shooter in Parkland, Florida was a former student. And at the school shootings, it is usually either current or former students who come in. So you wouldn't be killing the innocent students, obviously, but you would be teaching teaching the teachers how to shoot guns and spot the wrong student. If you think one of your students is going to do harm to the others, be ready to kill them. Are you insane? Look at what they've done to our country. We are no longer trying to prevent massacres in schools. We're trying to teach the teachers which students to execute if the school turns into a war zone. This is the state of madness in America. All right, now let me show you in the next story the person who, one of the people who is creating that madness. So let's go to Dana Loesch. Dana Loesch is a representative of the NRA. She decided she was going to attend the CNN's town hall event, 7,000 people there, and they were mad. And they had every right to be mad. How many kids are we going to lose and sacrifice at the altar of the NRA in this country? Does the NRA want assault weapons ban? No. Their leader, Wayne LaPierre, went to CPAC and said, the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. It's the same thing he said after Newtown. He said, we need to arm as many people inside the schools as possible and turn them basically into war zones. Dana Loesch agrees with that concept. So first, she's going to give her softer version, and it ain't very soft, on CNN, and it is not well received. Let's watch.
He should have been barred from getting a firearm. And as I and he should not have been able to. He should, A, never been able to get a firearm. B, people who are crazy should not be able to get firearms. C, people who are dangerous to themselves and other individuals. Let me answer. If we're here to have a discussion, that's why I'm here.
I was a very politically active teenager, and I'm on this stage as a result of that. Think of how far you all could go as a result of voicing your beliefs. Answer your question, and I want to be allowed the opportunity, which is why I am here. Crazy people who are murderers. No, we've been actually talking about that for a long time. Let me answer the question. You can shout me down when I'm finished, but let me answer Emma's question. It's not federally mandated. That's the big question, and I wish that this network had also covered this more as other media networks would have covered it.
So some people in the crowd, obviously very unhappy. One person shouted out murderer. And her point was, if you all study hard and work hard, you could one day be an NRA sellout like me too and get paid a lot of money to do propaganda while other people get shot. Wow, what a convincing point. She then, of course, immediately did a diversionary tactic, blamed the media. Oh, the media doesn't cover it. But the heart of her argument was, it's all mentally healthy. She never should have been allowed a gun in the first place, really? But the NRA position is that he should have been allowed a gun. First of all, he was not adjudicated to be mentally incompetent. So the NRA, if we had caught the shooter before he did the shootings, and we saw all the weapons that he had, the NRA would have defended him 100%. If we said, hey, can we take guns away from this kid, even though he hasn't been adjudicated mentally ill? The NRA would have said, no way. In fact, I have the law that they pushed for. Now, they won on what they were going for because they gave Donald Trump over $31 million when he was running for president. And that goes a long way towards getting Donald Trump to do whatever you want. Now, first of all, does Donald Trump care about mentally ill people and making sure they get treatment? Absolutely not. I can prove it to you with the numbers. His budget was recently released, the budget blueprint, slashed spending for the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration by $665 million. Additionally, Bloomberg reported that the National Institute of Mental Health would see a 30% reduction in funding and half a $1 billion decrease in 2019. So what happened? I thought you thought the issue was mental health. So why are you cutting mental health by $665 million? Now, to the bill that the NRA argued on behalf of. As NPR's Scott Horsley noted, nearly a year ago, the president signed a bill making it easier for people with mental illness to buy guns. The new measure rolled back an Obama-era rule that would have required Social Security Administration to send records of some beneficiaries with severe mental disabilities to the FBI's National Instant Criminal Background Check System. NPR's Susan Davis reported about 75,000 people found mentally incapable of managing their financial affairs would have been affected. The NRA pushed for, and because of all the bribes they gave to Donald Trump and other Republicans, succeeded in passing a bill that says if you are so mentally incompetent that you cannot handle your own finances, we still will allow you to buy a gun. They reversed an Obama era bill that would have prevented the mentally ill from getting guns. They don't believe it. Dana Loesch now trying to say, it's not the guns, it's not the guns, it's crazy people. Earlier, the people that Dana Loesch worked for insisted that mentally ill people be allowed to buy guns. Why? Because the NRA gets their money from people who sell guns. So they want to sell as much as humanly possible. They want to maximize their profits. And they don't sell flowers, they don't sell vegetables, they sell weapons. Weapons that kill people. They make more profit when more people buy weapons. And if they use those weapons to kill people, it creates a panic, which creates even more weapon buying. That is a cycle that is vicious to us, but great for their business and their bottom line. That's why they pay Dana Loesch so much money to get out there and lie to you. So now that was the soft stuff, she said. Then she goes to CPAC, that's the conservative conference, and she decides, oh, this is my crowd now. I could be as vicious as I like. So here she is.
Now I'm going to say something that some people are going to say is controversial. So I'll say it really slowly so all the people on the platform in the back can hear me loud and clear. Many in legacy media love mass shootings. You guys love it. Now, I'm not saying that you love the tragedy, but I am saying that you love the ratings. Crying white mothers are ratings gold to you and many in the legacy media in the back. And notice I said crying white mothers because there are thousands of grieving black mothers in Chicago every weekend, and you don't see town halls for them, do you? Where's the CNN town hall for Chicago? If it bleeds, it leads, doesn't it? And I don't mean to ignore you all here, but I'm really looking at a lot of the legacy media back there on the platform. And you can write whatever you want about me, and you can come find me in the hallways, and you can scream at me, and you can try to confront me. But I'm here, we're not going anywhere. I call BS.
She then tries to appropriate Emma Gonzalez, one of the students, slogan about calling BS.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of On the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Man, these people are really sick. So if you want to make a valid point about, hey, the media shouldn't publicize the name, the picture of the shooters, that's a point we make, and we try really hard not to say the names of the shooters after the initial story. We don't want to glorify the violence. And if you, on the other hand, want to say that the media shouldn't cover the shootings, why shouldn't they cover the shootings? Because that shows everybody that the thing that you sell, Dana, murders people, kills people. That's what it's designed for. Guns, I don't know if you know this because you're pretty stupid. Guns are designed to kill things, including people. And they do a pretty good job at it. They just killed 17 people, 14 kids in that Parkland school, 58 in Vegas, 49 in Orlando. And the list goes on and on. 20 in Newtown. There's no end to it. There's no end to the massacres. But somehow, it's not the people with the guns doing the massacres. It's the people that are covering the massacres that are causing the problem. No, I'm pretty sure it's the people with the guns killing them. They didn't get killed by a TV. They didn't get killed by a radio. They didn't get killed by the internet. They got killed by a gun. But Dana profits off of guns. You know what that means? It means she loves mass shootings because it makes her richer. But what does she do as a classic conservative? Projection. She loves mass shootings, so she says, don't look at me, don't look at me. I get a huge paycheck from the NRA to do propaganda for them. The NRA gets huge paychecks from the gun manufacturers. They profit off of you buying guns and these guys buying guns and killing people. That scares the hell out of people. People buy more guns. Well, that's a huge win for Dana Loesch and the NRA because they love mass shootings. Dana Loesch and the NRA, the biggest terrorists in the country. 9/11 was about 3,000 people. Over 30,000 people die every single year from guns in this country. You know how many people died from guns in Japan in a recent year? 13. That's it. We're three times the size of Japan, so let's call it 39. We have, in a recent year, 37,000 gun-related deaths. 37,000 versus 39. Not 39,000, just 39. You know why? They're not more crazy people in America than Japan. They're not more violent or criminal people in America than Japan. There's more guns in America than Japan. And Dana Loesch loves it because she loves mass shootings. All right. Now, let me turn to the Democrats for a second. Okay.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Now, an enormous majority of Americans want gun control. There are certainly debates about what a degree of gun control, but a universal background check to, for example, get rid of the gun show loophole polls at over 90%. So, especially with the country in a rage now over another school shooting, another massacre on Valentine's Day, this appears to be a good time for the Democrats to say, all right, we are going to stand up for progressive values here, because it would be a wonderful thing to do for the American people. It is the right thing to do in policy, and it would be the right thing to do politically. So are the Democrats going to do that? Now, if you know the establishment Democrats, unfortunately, you know the rest of the story. The answer is, of course not. So here's a headline from a story in the paper today in The Hill. Dems want gun control, but worry it could cost them the midterms. Oh, they are repulsive. Why won't progressives just bow their heads and unify behind the coward corporate Democrats? Yeah, I can't tell. I wonder why. Here, let's go to the heart of the story and tell you why they won't fight on this issue. They're unreal. As the issue continues to dominate the headlines, some Democrats back an understated approach. Of course they do. God forbid they should fight hard. Particularly with vulnerable Democrats like Senators Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Manchin up for re-election in red states. Get them out. I hope to God they lose in primaries. In general elections, look, the Republicans are loathsome and I don't want them to win. But if it turns out a couple of really conservative Democrats are preventing the rest of the Democratic Party from fighting hard, then they are doing more harm than good. Well, I mean, because I don't want Joe Manchin, who's incredibly conservative, to lose his seat. On his behalf, we're going to power down the whole Democratic Party at the national level. Oh, for God's sake. By the way, look, if that was true, I don't know if I'd be angry or less angry. I think less angry. I'll tell you why. It's an excuse. They don't want to do anything. They get paid to lose. So they're like, well, look, over 90% of Americans agree with us. So how do we lose this one? Well, they figured out a way. Okay, so as Senate Democratic aide says, quote, it's certainly more of a base issue than in years past. Do you know what that means? I'll decipher for you, because I speak politics. It means, I mean, all the senators are not progressive. They don't care at all. So this is what the base cares about. Oh, they're so annoying. These progressive voters we have that actually want progressive policy positions. It's more of a base issue this year than it used to be. We used to be able to ignore this with no problem. But now the progressive base hounds us and makes us actually work for a living a little bit. I'm so sorry to have bothered you. Okay, here's another former Democratic leadership aide. He says, how do you keep from having a conversation about sensible changes to be turned into they want to take your guns away? So in other words, he's saying, well, the Republicans, if we go to do any gun control, even one backed by 90% of Americans, will say, oh, they're just trying to take your guns away. He says, so obviously we have to give up. How would we fight back? You would use this thing called a mouse. It actually can emit words. You would actually fight back by saying other things. Wow, they never thought about that. They're like, but the Republicans will say this. Well, then you say that. You counter them, you moron, you coward. You go, oh, hey, the Republicans say that we're trying to take your guns away. But we're not. We're doing sensible gun control that 93% of Americans agree with. Wow, that was so hard. Yeah, you might as well just surrender instead. I can't tell why people loathe establishment Democrats. I can't tell it. But they really can't in Washington. They are perplexed. They're like, why does the progressive base bother us so much? We just wanted to just get back into our comfy little beds and surrender already. Why won't you let us surrender? Okay, Meredith Kelly, spokeswoman for the House Democrats campaign arm, said the party has no plan for a national messaging strategy on gun reform, citing the geographically and culturally diverse House battlefield. For God's sake, man. Look, we understand politics. So if you're running in New York, you might run on a more pro-gun control platform. If you're running in the middle of Montana, you might not. And those candidates might do different things. We're perfectly aware of that. But that doesn't mean that you have to do unilateral disarmament, almost literal in this case, at a national level. So what does that create? It creates Republicans who go on TV nonstop. Oh, they're taking your guns away, they're taking your guns away. Second Amendment, Second Amendment, Second Amendment, NRA is awesome. These are American rights. And what are the Democrats, what do you say? Nothing, nothing. No, Heidi Heitkamp might lose in North Dakota. Joe Manchin, my donors. Oops, did I say that out loud? Whatever, I don't know. I just want to go back to bed. So at the national level, they will have no messaging on guns. They are the worst of the worst. The Republicans are so deeply corrupt. They take all that NRA money and then they work at their behalf, no matter how many kids get shot in how many schools. But the Democrats and their surrender to those loathsome people are arguably maybe even lower than them. Now, of course, it's not every Democrat, and there are progressives who fight back. But unfortunately, the majority of the establishment Democrats will not fight. They will have no national messaging on this. By the way, if you want more polls, I'll give you more polls. One that just came out. The Political Morning Consult poll conducted after the deadly shooting last week at a Florida high school finds 64% of respondents are in favor of tougher gun control laws. Now, that's not the specific universal background check that has over 90%. That is in general. In general, they say, oh, they're trying to take your guns away. You say, no, I want tougher gun control laws. You have 64% of the country on your side. If you can't win with two-thirds of the country behind you, please retire. Please, please let progressives run instead. Get out of the way. Get out of the way, you miserable losers. By the way, the poll also found that 45% of Republicans said they would support tougher gun laws. You've got almost half the Republicans on your side, and you still won't fight. One last one. Among Democrats, 84% support stricter gun laws compared with just 13% who oppose them. But almost all of their politicians are in that 13%. So yes, some fight back. Chris Murphy, almost all the progressive senators and however little there are of them and members, some members of the progressive caucus, etc. But the majority of the Democrats are the establishment Democrats. And they go, 84% of my voters want it. Even half the Republican voters want it. I don't care. Joe Manchin says no. By the way, Paula Jean Swearengin is running against Joe Manchin in West Virginia. Go out there in the primaries. Go in the primaries in every race. Primaries are more important than general elections. Get rid of these bums. If you don't vote in primaries, you don't care about this country. If you care about being a progressive and you care about rescuing this country, you must vote in primaries to vote these bums out and put real progressives that are uncorrupted to represent you. JusticeDemocrats.com, that is one group. There are other groups, but the Just Democrats don't take corporate PACs. Paula Jean Swearengin against Manchin. Get rid of the bum. Get rid of the bum. If he's holding back all progress, primary the living hell out of all of them and let them cry. Oh, I don't know why they don't like me. I keep surrendering to Republicans, but I can't figure out why they don't like me. We don't like you because you're corrupt and you're craven. Get the hell out already, Young Turks. You're right in the middle of this podcast. We've got another great segment coming up for you. If you'd like the full show, which is actually five segments, go to tytnetwork.com/join. You become a member, you support the show, you support independent media, and you get the whole 2-hour show ad-free every day. Let's go do it now. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and John with you guys. ROBP writes in on YouTube Super Chat, school resource officer assigned to protect students didn't go into the school, and Trump thinks teachers are going to face an AR-15. Yes, that story broke earlier today. I told you about it. And
yeah.
Yes. Now, that guy didn't do his job, but even if he had, would he have gotten to the right place at the right time? And
I mean, you know, would he have had a chance against the kid? I honestly don't know.
And the kid had an AR-15. The guard didn't have an AR-15.
I mean, but again, it is his job. That's what he had been there for years. But that's a tough position.
He resigned today. Stephen Scales says people like Wayne LaPierre turned dumb people into incredibly dangerous and dumb people.
Yeah.
Derek Martin says that was really unimpressive. LaPierre just connected gun violence to socialism. Say what? And Sexy Speed Racer says Wayne LaPierre is a terrorist. Case closed. Members of the day are Albert Savoy and Caitlin Sparks. We've got an extra Rebel Headquarters segment for you guys today. So post game will start a little bit later, but we will have a post game. We've got aggressive progressive for you guys. We did a wonderful old school for with Adam Green, backed by popular demand, head of the PCCC, was on old school last night. All you members, check that out. TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member. And don't forget, next Tuesday's the first election night. The elections will begin. They will commence. You could actually already vote in Arizona. You could already vote in Texas. And by the way, go to tytnetwork.com/register to go and vote. Figure out how to register and how to vote right now in your own state. But Tuesday night, after the regular show and after Rebel Headquarters, we will cover Arizona's 8th Congressional District special election. There is a Justice Democrat, Brianna Westbrook, in that race. Make sure you go out and vote. And let me see where we are with Brent Welder. TYTKansas.com, TYT member Brent Welder running already 2,582. Let's get to 50,000 so we can get a field team. 126 people have donated. Can I see 150 people donating by the end of the show? Okay? Mm-hmm. It's a little ambitious. Let's see what we can do. All right, John, what's next?
Okay, we got a bunch of stuff. For a little while there, for a few years, we had the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was set up after the Great Recession to actually represent you, to represent regular people against the banks and other industries which would abuse them. And we still technically have it, but unfortunately we also have Trump and we have Interim Director Mick Mulvaney, who is twisting that organization to instead basically work for those banks and to aid them in coming at you while having the veneer of some sort of consumer protection. And so overall, and we've reported on this a number of times over the past year, Mick Mulvaney has worked to make the watchdog agency less aggressive in actually going after banks and various forms of legal abuse. Under his leadership, the CFPB delayed a new payday lending regulation from going into effect and dropped an investigation into one payday lender that contributed to Mulvaney's campaign. Now, we also have something that we want to focus on today, though. Mulvaney also dropped a lawsuit against an alleged online loan shark called Golden Valley Lending. The suit says the lender illegally charges people up to 950% interest rates. It took CFPB staffers years to build the case against them. I don't yet know why it took years if they're charging that much, but apparently it did, and they were doing that work for years because this company has illegally defrauded thousands of people out of tons of money. And that's what this organization is there to do. It's to find out where these abuses are, to build a case against them, to take them to court and get money back. Unfortunately, it was shut down. And now one of the investigators in that particular case says, people are devastated and angry. Just imagine how you would feel if years of your life had been dedicated to pursuing justice and you lose everything. Let alone if you're one of the people that this company defrauded and you did lose everything. And by the way, just in case you were wondering, can you actually charge 950% interest? No, you can't actually charge 950% interest. Thus the case.
Now, but before you go on, John, let's just be really clear about that. It violates state and federal law. Mm-hmm. It's called loan sharking, and it's what the mob does. But I'd be surprised if the mob charged 950%.
No,
because that is so undoable, unpayable. It makes you an indentured servant for the rest of your life. Almost how, no matter how little you borrow, the interest rate will ramp up so quickly that you'll be paying it back the rest of your life. That's why the government doesn't allow it. It allows for gigantic interest rates. So 35% is fairly normal at the state level, and that is an enormous unpayable. I'll give you context. Donald Trump went bankrupt one of the six times, because he went bankrupt six different times. Because he took out too much, he took out loans that had too high an interest rate for the Taj Mahal, one of the casinos he had in Atlantic City. You know what the interest rate was? 14%. Mm-hmm. A casino that basically prints money, the house always wins, could not pay back a 14% interest rate. These guys charge the average guy a 950% interest rate.
Yeah.
And that is why it is terribly illegal. It could be illegal. But if the government, now run by the crooks, by the robbers, chooses not to enforce the law because they don't believe in the rule of law, they represent the robbers, well, then they just got away with it. They robbed all those Americans, and there's nothing you could do about it because Trump's in office and he put the criminals in charge.
Exactly. And I mean, we've gone through basically every department at this point, where the department has a mission statement, it has a philosophy, something it's supposed to accomplish. And so they go out there and they find literally the person best placed to totally invert, to pervert the point of these departments and instead deploy them to aid corporations and the wealthy and well-connected. So that same investigator, by the way, said that he did believe that had they been able to pursue the lawsuit, it would have been able to get money back for thousands of people that Golden Valley had defrauded. But although we've given you some of the general details, I do want to focus on one particular case because it's pretty egregious. There's a woman, Julie Bonenfant, who said, "I was literally facing eviction because I was so behind on my rent and I had no idea where I was going to come up with the money, and it was just really rough. It was just misleading. The way it was presented was this loan with that company. I was going to make four large payments and then be done." So she sent NPR a screenshot from the website of her, what the deal was supposed to be. And it says on her $900 loan, her scheduled payments in less than 12 months would be $3,735. Or more than four times what she actually borrowed there. So it looks like she didn't actually get the worst interest rate they hand out. She got like half as, twice as good of a deal, actually. But yeah, they expect that, no, you will pay those four payments and then you will continue to pay these huge fines and fees afterward. And it can be incredibly confusing for people, especially people who are desperately trying to make ends meet, who are trying to get money quickly to deal with some sort of medical emergency or something like that. And they prey on exactly those people. Now, Mulvaney, apparently, although he won't specifically talk about this, he declined requests for an interview. Statements have been put out saying, "Oh no, I didn't actually shut this down. I had nothing to do with it. It was just, you know, career staffers inside of the organization." But sources inside the organization say, "No, he actually was instrumental in shutting down this case, as he has been in other ones that we've talked about on the show over the past year." And what's interesting, maybe it's not related, but hey, maybe it is that as a congressman, he took $62,000 plus from payday lenders. Huh. So weird that he got paid. I don't know what kind of interest rate he's getting on that money now, but probably not 950%, but I think it might have had an effect.
So my favorite part of this was this quote from the NPR story. "After repeated questioning from NPR, Mulvaney's press person acknowledged that Mulvaney was indeed involved in the decision to drop the lawsuit. In other words, we tried to lie to you, pretending that he had nothing to do with it, but you pressed us." Yeah. So, okay, fine, he did it. He took $62,000 from the pay lenders, and these politicians, they're all bought so cheap.
Yeah, that's like nothing.
You know, that you get away with God knows how much in fines. They would have gotten tens of millions. I don't know if it would have been hundreds of millions of dollars. You just paid Mulvaney $62,000.
Yeah.
What a cheap little prostitute Mulvaney is. So he then comes into this bureau that is supposed to protect consumers and goes, "No, I'm corrupt. I'm just going to say all that." They would have gotten you your money back. Because it's illegal and they would have gotten you your money back. And Mulvaney says, "No, I don't represent you. I represent the bad guys." Yeah. So you're not going to get your money back. All that hard work and pursuing justice and the rule of law, dropped it overnight. Now admits he did drop it. It was him. Mm-hmm. And one of the women involved, one of the people involved said that she's a Trump voter and feels betrayed. "And I feel bad because they said, I feel kind of stupid. But he told you that he was going to get rid of the swamp. That was a huge reason you voted for him."
Yeah.
"He was lying the whole time. He's a cheap, cheap politician telling you pretty little lies that you wanted to hear. Then he gets in the office and screws you because his donors and Mulvaney's donors wanted to keep their money, wanted to be able to rip you off. And by the way, they can continue to rip you off going forward."
Yeah.
"So the rule of law will not be enforced as long as you're a donor to the Trump campaign and to Mick Mulvaney." It is grotesque.
It's really twisted how this whole thing has played out, that they tried to stop, the Republicans tried to stop the organization from being set up in the first place. They tried to stop a director from being installed in the first place. You're probably familiar with her. They tried to defund it. They tried to destroy it. And then finally, they just get somebody in the White House and they just put whoever the hell they want in there. And then it still technically exists, but it becomes irrelevant.
Look, I can go on and on in this story because Mulvaney is actually not technically the leader of the Consumer
interim.
Financial Protection Bureau. No, but he's not even the interim leader. He's not legally allowed to be the leader, okay? Mm-hmm. But they don't give a shit. They just strong-armed it. They're like, "He is now. What are you going to do about it?" Right? Mm-hmm. And a judge said, well, I can't rule on it now. So they're like, that's it, then we win. Later, there will be a ruling. They are violating the law by having Mulvaney be the head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. But he came in like a fucking thug, sorry. And now he's like, oh, all my robber friends, you're all free to go. There's a jailbreak. He'll leave, but that case is gone. They can't bring it back. It's gone.
Yeah.
They're the worst people on the planet. All right, let's do the next one.
Okay, let's move on to a similar topic. More corruption for you, this time having to do with a lawsuit over mining safety regulations. And a person named David Zatelzalo, this is President Trump's top official for mining safety, who has a history in that particular industry that we're going to talk about. And it has to do with challenges to Obama administration regulations trying to make it so that if mines routinely violated safety procedures, there could be an expedited process of adjudicating that, having some sort of fines or consequences of some sort, which of course the industries don't like, and so they challenged it in court. So that lawsuit was filed in March 2013 by the Kentucky Coal Association, opposing the Obama administration's use of a mine safety rule known as POV, or pattern of violations. As I said, accelerates the penalty process. So David Zatelzalo, the person that I was talking about, is now the Assistant Secretary of Mine Health and Safety. He served on the Kentucky Coal Association Board of Directors through 2014. Through late 2014, Zatelzalo was also chairman of Rhino Resource Partners, kind of a cool name, and a mining company which twice ran afoul of POV during his tenure there. So it's really an interesting situation they've set up where he was on the board of directors for that coal association, involved with a company that was violating these particular provisions. A couple years go by, he gets to be in charge effectively of mine safety, and right now is considering whether he is going to be the person to rule on a lawsuit that, at least to some extent, he was the one who pushed for in the first place.
So this is why I love TYT Investigates, and thank you to all the viewers who helped fund it. Because while everybody's looking somewhere else and super important issues like guns, etc., Donald Trump's administration is eviscerating the rule of law, doing wild conflicts of interest and corruption to no end. So our job is to dig in and find where they are. So in this case, great report by Steve Horn pointing out, look, this guy was part of that organization, the Kentucky Coal Association, that sued the group that he now helps to run inside the government. Now, that's not new in terms of Scott Pruitt, same thing, head of the EPA, sued the EPA over a dozen times. And Trump's like, oh, you want to destroy the EPA? Wonderful, that's exactly who I'm looking for. You're now the head of the EPA. So this guy now becomes a top official in mining safety because he was trying to destroy mining safety. So, okay, that part we understand, although almost no one else is talking about it. And so we find the lawsuit. And then, of course, as John pointed out, there's two different organizations that he was on the board of that now are in front of the government agency that he is running. And in the beginning, they said, oh, conflicts of interest. No, absolutely not. Number one, he'll get his money out of any mining within 90 days. Did he? Of course not. Mm-hmm. He works for the Trump administration, still has money invested in mining companies.
Yeah, but only like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
While he's supposed to be regulating mining companies that he's invested in. Now, the companies he used to run, he's decided, I'm not going to recuse myself. I'm going to make the decision on whether my former companies did the right thing or not. Gee, I wonder which way he's going to decide. Well, I can't quite tell.
Who would better know what the companies were up to
than the guy sitting on their board
before? Insider knowledge, yeah.
And when asked about it, the Trump administration, and we're the ones who asked them, said, well, I mean, our rule technically is that you had to be outside those companies for 2 years, and he was on the board of those companies in 2014. Technically, he's slightly okay, so I'm sure he has no conflict of interest. He'll have you can't find anyone else to make that ruling. No, the point is corruption. It's not the bug, it's the feature. So check out the article. It'll be in the links down below and on YouTube, in the description box, and on comment section on Facebook. So our job is to comment on these stories. TYT Investigates' job is to find the stories and cover them objectively. Read the story for yourself. It is a terrible case of conflict of interest, again, within the Trump White House.
Yeah, they did a great job. They continue to. This is incredibly important. The thing is, like, this is the story they found this week, one of several stories this week. But I'm sure that if you dig just a little bit in so many departments, you're going to find stuff like this. And we need to be keeping tabs on the Trump administration. I know some people don't like that we talk about it, that we talk about Trump and what's going on there. But it is incredibly important. We can't give them a pass for 4 years, because in literally every topic you can think of, this is the sort of corruption that's going on.
All right, we'll be right back. Thanks for watching or listening to this free version of the Young Turks podcast. You know that the full show is at tytnetwork.com/join. If you become a member, you get the full show ad-free. We love you for watching or listening. Either way, there's going to be a new free podcast tomorrow. You can keep on doing that. But if you want to get the full show ad-free, tytnetwork.com/join. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.